Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gore Ghouls. I'm Sam.
I'm Caitlin.
And welcome back.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens out there.
As you can tell, we have a couple of things on the agenda to talk about today. We're going to talk about The Tiger King on Netflix, and we're going to talk about the Forgotten West Memphis 3 documentary on Oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and happy quarantine-oween. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's a thing.
The thing we needed right now.
Yeah, I didn't really do anything other than put orange makeup, fall makeup on. Honestly, I would have decorated. Well, it's our houses are already pretty decorated.
Yeah,
I can't
really decorate.
But, do I really want to pull out, the big spider and, the big Grim Reaper guy and stuff like that?
Put that stuff on the lawn and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
She done lost her mind.
Well,
she's
there's
sick.
People, doing Christmas stuff. I think it's somewhere up in Orlando, a family decorated for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I saw that article.
It's supposed to be, positivity in this time.
Well, Halloween is positivity.
Right.
Because that means that we're still planning for the harvest.
Well,
Jesus is always going to not be there.
I'm worried, obviously it's a long time away, but there's always that little bit of me that's at this moment, what if this lasts till then?
Well, it's one of those, we don't need to come up with a name like the Great Depression, this will get through, and then
right.
4 years later.
Yeah.
It does. It just feels like there's no end in sight every time there's, a new update or a presidential thing, or I see another state go, all right, we're doing this now. And I'm like, great. So that's just going to flow across the country pretty soon.
I feel like they should have done a federal lockdown.
Oh, yeah,
as opposed to, letting the states decide.
Yeah, no way.
The fact we live in Florida and, the fact that there's people that are coming here that were fleeing New York.
That's not...
No. I'm sorry, that's not how this fucking works. Well, you don't get to come here and infect us and, make it worse for us. That's so fucking selfish. I can't stand how...
You need to just stay.
Yeah.
Stay. Stay
put. Well, and we're on lockdown now, too. So, good for you guys that you didn't... You know what I mean? What the fuck do you do in a state that you don't even live in?
Well, that's that. I mean, it was literally 3 days later after they said that Orange County was locked down, that our county got locked down because we spiked so bad. And one of the reporters this morning said that New York should be spiking in deaths this week. They don't expect it until May for us.
Yeah. Well, they're saying
Well,
and that the problem is obviously we're not going to hype on this too long, but the problem is that there's not enough test kits.
No.
So, there could be, I haven't looked at the numbers today, but say there's 100,000 confirmed cases. There could be fucking 500,000, but because they're
not
testing.
Yeah.
I know in Orlando, the testing center is at 65 plus with symptoms. So, you can't just go and get tested if you're over 65.
Yeah.
You have to have symptoms. Which I'm okay, I understand the whole, the... Have, a mail-in test that every single person in the state does, and then you at least have a knowledge of, who has it, who doesn't, who's... You know what I mean? That
something,
kind of stuff.
Yeah. I get where you're going with it. And,
just so we know.
The problem is the symptoms are there when the people feel them, but they're still not taking you in until death's door.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well,
cool.
Well, they just tell you to stay at home.
They're not.
Yeah.
I think it's that placebo effect. I feel like they go in, and it's like, okay, they probably have it, for sure.
Yeah.
Go home, rest up, if it gets worse, come back. And then you have, that weird, I'm feeling better, because I went to the doctor.
Well, and then,
and you
go
out.
To Walmart, or let me go...
let me stop at the gas station real quick.
I need this, or I need that, or I just...
Nothing's changed here. Our town is... Hustling and bustling. It's the same traffic. It feels like summer, when the kids aren't in school, so you go through, a school zone, and it's quiet and stuff. It feels like that.
Well, Mom went by Hobby Lobby today, and she said it's open. She drove by.
And
she
why?
Didn't go in.
And
it's
why?
Joanne's, I know, was doing the thing where if you came in, they would give you the stuff to make masks for nurses and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I'm guessing that maybe Hobby Lobby is doing that, but Joann's advertised that that's the only reason they were staying open, is so that people could come get the equipment or the fabric and the elastic in order to make masks for the people who need them. And that's because we're running out of masks.
And they've probably...
But, like, Hobby Lobby hasn't... Unless you're going to say, like, a statement to say that's why we're staying open... And their fabric department is nowhere near where Joann's is. It's a fucking tiny corner.
And you would figure that they would have certain fabrics.
Yeah.
And the elastics, right now they're making from right up front. Like, it's right up front.
Yeah, well, that's what Joann's was doing, is in the little carts up front, is that's where they were putting the stuff that you would
Okay,
need.
So what...
So I don't know if they were stopping people from, like, walking around the store, but they had, like, a assembly line of what you needed in order to make
Well, and at the end of the day, like, as long as Walmart stays open, we're never going to get through this. Because Walmart's, the clothes, why are you looking at DVDs?
Sunday, we went to Walmart to get groceries. We try right now to go once a week to do, like, our main shop and then try to avoid as much as we can going out again. But unless it's, like, absolutely necessary. There's a lady wearing a mask, and she brushed me as she walked past. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you're so scared that you're taking a mask away from a nurse that needs it. And you're not even doing what they tell you to do. Because they're telling you, A, not to wear a mask. Because the people who... you either wear them if you are sick. Or you wear them if you're a nurse or a doctor that's taking care of people who are sick. Not fucking people who are just walking around Walmart. And then you're going to touch me.
Yeah.
Like...
So you've already broken the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
So why does it matter? No, Brad saw two different people walking by themselves down the sidewalk by our house, which is down the side of a highway. Yeah. So there's no one around wearing masks. You're free and clear right now, buddy.
Yeah.
Cough it out.
Well,
like what are you doing?
I don't know. Well, now I saw an article today that the 6-foot social distancing thing isn't really a thing. Because the droplets or whatever the stuff that carries out the coronavirus from a person can go up to 27 feet.
Yeah.
So
it's air particles. It's not going to float in a little bubble when you cough.
Like, so then... now, I mean, but anyways, while we're in quarantine, obviously we watched Tiger King.
We've watched a lot of stuff.
Yeah. I've been watching, actually, our listeners might enjoy, there's a woman on YouTube named Bailey Sarian, and she does Murder Mystery Makeup Mondays.
Yeah.
Where she does her makeup, and she talks about a true crime, like a murder. Some murder, some, like, paranormal stuff, but mostly, like, specific murders. And she's fantastic. Like, I've binge-watched tons of her videos, and she does videos on Saturdays, too, where it's just makeup-related, no true crime.
Yeah.
But she's super, like, charismatic, and she's really fun to watch.
That's cool.
And her makeup is, like, phenomenal. So, I highly recommend her if you're into true crime and makeup or just true crime, because Preston watches. Like, he listens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not paying attention to the makeup, but...
It's still something educational.
Yeah.
Even at the end of the day, you can put it on in the background if you're not watching the makeup and just listen.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that... Like, I found this week.
We have been going through some of the most random documentaries ever.
Yeah.
We watched The Parking Lot. Super fun. It was really fun.
What's it about?
It's about parking attendants.
Jesus Christ.
It is, like, I can't even tell you.
Observe and report.
It is, like, it is super wholesome. And, like, we watched it the whole way through, because I was like, I'll put it on and see.
Yeah.
And it was basically just kind of about the shit they put up with, how they feel free. I don't know. It was kind of cool to watch. And we watched Finders Keepers, about a guy that found a leg, a real human leg, in a storage unit.
Ew.
Yeah. I guess the guy that owned the leg, he wanted to preserve it because him and his dad were in a plane accident, and his dad passed away. And then this guy was like, I found the leg, so I'm keeping it. Because he wanted to make money off of it. And the other guy was like, but I want my leg back. So it was this weird, like, back and forth.
Yeah.
But it's, like, interesting to watch. Like, just because this guy has an interesting story and the other guy is just so hell-bent on people knowing who he is.
Yeah.
It was weird. But it was, I mean, Finders Keeper, I mean, they're easy to find. Like, you can find them on, the Amazon or Hulu or any of that stuff.
Yeah, I think what I like what I like about the true crime and the documentary stuff right now is some movies, like, you know, like, fictional movies that, like, aren't based on a true story or, you know, aren't real people's lives or whatever, they're not enough to get me to stop thinking about the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas a documentary has so much information that you need to know this before you get to this. And, like, I feel like, unless it's more of a complicated fictional movie, it's not enough of an escape. Whereas the true crime and the documentary stuff, it's something that you can do, for me personally,
yeah,
where it takes enough of my mental capacity that I don't think about the other stuff.
That's kind of how I feel too. Like, we watched the Invisible Man and it was very good, but I didn't feel the same way that I felt.
Yeah.
After watching, like, the Finders Keepers, we watched Skinwalker Ranch. I can't remember the name of something else. This guy that found out a bunch of stuff about his dad after he passed away. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it might be an hour and a half documentary. Oh, we watched the Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
You can, if you're interested in train crashes, there you go. Oh, and Goodnight Sugar Babe is so good. I don't know, they keep me distracted for, like, 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, Invisible Man was like, oh, that was good. And then I literally turned to Brad and I said, I wish we could have made that a theater experience.
Yeah.
And
then it's like, why can't we?
But that's the thing. Like, it kind of made me sad because I was like,
yeah,
I never get to go. I want to go.
There's a movie. Oh, they push, but Ghostbusters.
Okay.
That was the one that I was really upset about today. Because it was like.
It is. Fuck. I think it's more of a slap in the face that stuff is, like, out, because you're like, man, this would have been really fun,
yeah,
to enjoy in theaters. But the documentaries are just like, this is crazy, and then sometimes I go down like a rabbit hole kind of looking at it. But
yeah,
Tiger King has been the major distraction.
Yeah, honestly, I know you're not gonna like that I say this, but it's an okay documentary. I think that what makes it so popular is, A, it is crazy.
Yeah.
But I do think that the meme-ability of it why it's so popular.
That is why it's so popular.
Because, like, obviously, there's a lot that happens and a lot that goes on and stuff like that, and tons of shady people. Pretty much everybody in the show.
Everybody.
But you know what I mean? So it's like, it's almost like when you see a firework display.
Yeah.
And this one over here is shaped like a flower, and this one over here is shaped like a star, but they go off individually.
Yes.
You can fully appreciate each firework.
Yeah.
If they set them all off at the same time,
you're like, where to look.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel, that's how I feel. It's a, don't get me wrong, it's a good documentary. It's funny to watch, like, you know, funny in, like,
yeah,
the,
yeah,
in the kind of, like, crazy sense, but that was how I felt, was it, if they had, obviously there's way too much going on to focus on just one thing, but I do think that was, like, my take on it, is if it's like, if you set off all the fireworks at once, you can't appreciate each individual cool firework that everybody's worked so hard on.
Yeah.
It's just here, you know?
I think it would have done well with, like, a 7-part series.
Mm-hmm.
Literally on each person.
One, I think that.
But once Robert Kirkham, when his, like, all the gator thing burnt down, everything mm-hmm. burnt down, I felt like that's where, obviously, they needed footage.
Yeah.
It got messier.
What I feel like is the underlying, Joe Exotic obviously is crazy. All the stuff that happens around him is insane. The stuff with the gators, the stuff with the Jeff guy, the things with her, like, his husbands and all that kind of stuff. All of that is really, really crazy. But I personally think that the most frustrating part of the documentary is that this dude did go missing and nobody cared. So I think that for that to be, I know it's an underlying focus throughout the whole season.
But it should be the main.
It should be the main thing, that somebody literally died. Like, because I know that the main focus at the end with Joe Exotic is that they say that he tried to hire somebody to murder Carol.
Yeah.
But, like, somebody has been murdered.
But,
you know,
Carol's
allegedly
still riding around on her bike totally fine.
Yeah.
There's a woman and daughters that don't know
what happened to their father.
Yeah. With a woman that is just so shady.
One, the fact, like the fact that they got 10% of his estate, But he had had trust, because I told you this in a text message the other day. I thought that we talked about the possibility of him running away.
Yeah.
And the possibility that he had set up the two trusts, I think it was two daughters, two trusts for one trust for each daughter, with however, they never said how much was in each trust, but
yeah.
You assume that it's a large amount of money.
Yeah.
Say it's like two, I don't know, I think he's worth $500 million. Say it's like $10 million each.
The various ones that went around, I would stick to the lawyer, said he was $10 to $15 million.
Okay.
His friends said he thought he was $25 million. Yeah. But that was because he knew that he buried shit.
Okay. So say each trust is worth $1 million for the daughters. So my thing is he sets that up, and typically with a trust, you can't, if the person dies, disappears, blah, 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 whatever.
It doesn't matter.
The trust is still in their name, whether he's alive, dead, or gone. So whereas the other money will or go to the next beneficiary next of kin, which if you're married is your spouse. So I thought that the possibility that he did run away is a viable option.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he... So even though they were estranged from him,
yeah.
he secured the two trusts for the daughters,
yeah.
But then it was like, if I run, Carol gets the money,
they
that's
at least
just
get
something
that.
I have
yeah.
to think about, but they at least get these. So I thought that that was more of a, like a nod to the fact that he might have just run away.
Yeah.
But if he is dead, the fact that Carol has not been looked at even a little bit, and she pretends, like, I hate her.
I know,
like,
I do too.
The whole series, we're like, this fucking bitch is.
Because everything is just like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, and she rolls her eyes. It's like classic, I'm lying.
Yeah.
Twitches and behavioral instincts.
Yeah. Well, and then she makes the comment about, if you did want to feed somebody the tigers, I know she doesn't say it like this, but if you did want to feed them to the tigers, you just need to cover them in sardine oil or something like that. And I feel like she's not happy with the documentary. And I think that's because she let her guard down.
Yeah.
They filmed her guard being down.
Yeah.
She made that as like a tongue-in-cheek type joke.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh shit. And to the point now that is it Hillsborough, wherever she lives, in
Hillsborough,
Tampa?
Hillsborough, yeah.
That they've reopened the case to look into what happened to Don.
Because it is ridiculous. Again, like, there's two wills that he leaves to the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And she takes them.
Yeah. She breaks the lock on the gate and the office in order to, get the two wills.
Yeah.
Which, it's weird because you would think that...
I don't think the secretary read them. That's what I was wondering what was on them.
I thought it was weird that... Because obviously, if it's a document that you're in charge of, you don't really look at it. It's still like a private thing until, you know, until it's necessary. But I think it's funny that Don made the secretary or his personal assistant or whatever she was, his power of attorney with the wills. But then... Why tell Carol where they are? If you're not going to make your wife your executor of your will, why even, if you're that, if you think she's that shady that you're not, because I would be Preston's, you would be Brad's.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just that, you know, that's how it works.
What I don't understand about that whole situation is in the podcast, I don't remember her name, the secretary says
I think
that.
It's Anne, but I could be completely wrong.
The secretary says that when they started having problems, him and Carol did, he brought her the two packets.
Mm-hmm.
She said in the podcast, she said she took them home and forgot about them until someone said something, the police said something to bring them back.
To the office?
To the office. I don't know that Carol knew.
Yeah.
I think police told her,
Your
secretary has some documents.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when she heard some documents, it was like, that's that motherfucker's will.
Yeah.
Because Anne said she took him home. And then just, she was like, life was usual. Because
he
said not to open them unless I die.
Yeah. Well, and the wills aside and who has what will and all that kind of shit, for the will to say... whether death or disappearance.
Yeah, so you don't, specific.
Not one person in this fucking world, so unless you're like specific. A mafia boss or something like that, would even think of the concept of what would happen to my money and my stuff if I disappear.
She filed for his death certificate one day after 5 years.
Yeah.
One day.
Well, like,
not to be too obvious, probably because it was on a Sunday and that's when it opened up.
And it's so, like, and the weird part is because she's his wife, she has access to the money and the property and all that kind of stuff anyway. So realistically, she could have waited in order, because she has the access to the bank accounts and everything.
Yeah.
So she doesn't need the death certificate right then and there.
No.
Because she's already got access to everything.
Mm.
But I think that she wanted to shut down the trust for the other women, or for the daughters.
It was.
Sorry.
It was that if it stayed open, people could keep prodding. People could keep. So the quicker that it was just, I'm a widow.
Yeah.
And this is my money. Now you have to ask me for your dad's money.
Mm-hmm.
That she wanted that quicker. Instead of any office meetings and how do we distribute this. And the fact that she's like, she goes, well, Don didn't want to put them in the will, but I just thought that was so rude.
Yeah.
Bitch, we don't know what was on the original will.
Well, not to mention, like, he had trust for them, so they didn't technically even have to be in the will. They had their own trust that you tried to take away from them.
So don't act like that. Yeah. And, like, you know, like they said, like, we got all the yucky stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, so probably all of the things that owed money.
Mm-hmm. The business. Or, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what business it was, like, where they had the portable office and stuff, but, like, I'm sure they got that, and they got, you know, that kind of stuff where it wasn't really worth anything. If anything, it was just a headache for them to have it.
Exactly.
And shut it down, because unless you're gonna go and do whatever he did, I didn't pay attention.
I would guess that business shut down for the 5 years he was missing, and then that's when she was like, you can have the business! Yeah. Oh my god, I'm so nice! And it's like, oh, the business that closed down because he's dead?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you! Thank you so much!
I wouldn't be surprised if, because I know that she wanted to get rid of Joe, and I know that Jeff wanted to get rid of Joe.
Jeff wanted to get rid of Joe because it was going to open up stuff for Jeff being the owner of GW Zoo.
Yeah.
Once he saw that Joe was in trouble.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they had talked and said, okay, I'm going to say that he hired me to put a hit out on you.
Alan seems super confused.
Yeah.
Just about everything.
Yeah, I don't.
And, like,
well, why isn't he in jail? He took the money.
I know.
That's accepting that you're gonna, even if you're like, I'm just taking the money, you still accepted the job. You're not even gonna get looked into.
Well, and
as,
like,
to why he thought he'd come to you to kill someone.
Like, one of the guys that worked for Joe said that those sheriffs and stuff were so hellbent on Joe.
Yeah. They didn't care about him.
I mean, we've seen that happen. Where have we seen that happen, Sam?
Yeah.
We also watched the West Memphis 3, the Forgotten.
Yeah, Forgotten West Memphis 3.
Yeah. It was on Oxygen.
Yeah.
With
Saturday and Sunday.
Bob Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From the Truth and Justice podcast, which I highly recommend.
Yeah. He shouldn't hide behind a podcast. You
he
should
is
be
amazing.
Front and center on TV.
I think it's really cool that he was for 15 years, he was a firefighter and he was a rescue diver. Or a recovery diver, sorry.
Firefighters are sending out some good meat out there.
Right. He's adorable.
He is.
Like, he really
is. He's so adorable.
But I love him. Like, the podcast itself
is
amazing.
This
is
her confession, if you're listening, Bob.
But, right? But seeing him tear up.
Oh my god, yeah.
When he's talking about Pam, and then he talks about how these little boys were murdered.
That's who you want on your side.
It's like, holy shit, dude.
Like he actually
finally
cares.
Somebody gives a shit.
Yeah.
And, like, to see, this is a spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about it, but to see that the district attorney is not, he makes these fucking grand promises on TV that he will let anybody have the evidence that wants to test it and all this other shit.
Yeah, because in that moment he seemed like a hero.
Yeah, and then literally a whole month of the production team and Bob Ruff trying to get this guy to release the evidence. And they can't. And he won't do it. He won't answer any calls.
But, like,
he won't
Pam said, she's like, I'm the mother, and he will
and
not
he
release.
Won't talk to her.
And, like, I mean, you know that she's been doing that a hell of a lot longer than Bob.
Yeah.
So he must have said that shit on TV, and his PR person was like, you did great up there. Yeah. And he was like, cool, and just ripped the paper up and was like, no one's ever gonna ask again.
Yeah.
Like,
it's disgusting. Well, knowing that they have, one of the things that Bob Ruff wants to do is they have the MVAC DNA testing, which is a vacuum.
Super cool looking.
And it goes over, it collects 200 times more DNA, touch DNA, from objects.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be a rock or, you know, anything that, like, anything that you could possibly think of. But it collects 200 times more DNA. And the fact that, like, it could solve the case.
Well, they could bring in, like, a steering wheel.
Like, yeah. Like,
and vacuum it. Well,
the plan is to vacuum. They still have the bindings of Michael Moore.
Yeah, the knots.
They have the knots. But yeah. Michael Moore's knot is the one where Terry, not conclusively Terry's hair, was in the knot.
But he wants to do the bikes, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he wants to do the bikes. And he wants, the knots are what he really, really
yeah,
wants.
Yeah, he really wants the knots. Really, really want.
Because he figures that if there was a hair in it that they could find back then, he can do that now.
Yeah.
So, but it's disgusting to see that these people just, they want it, they think they have their killer. They actually, they might not think that they have their killers, but they have somebody who is labeled the killers of these boys, and they don't want anybody to fucking find out who actually did it.
Yeah.
Because it'll be a whole other headache, because A, that'll mean that Jesse, Jason, and Damon can sue the West Memphis Police Department, and probably the state of Arkansas, too, I would assume. And they already look guilty as fuck because of the investigation that they did in the beginning, but this would make them look even more guilty, obviously, that they didn't do their job correctly and let these three men sit in jail for almost 20 years.
And they don't, like, they don't care. They don't care that this isn't even something that people can go on with. Pam looks great, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm,
for somebody who's been through so much,
she looks great.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean her life is any simpler.
No.
It has destroyed these three boys' lives.
Yeah.
I'm, you know,
when
two,
it's a ripple effect out to even Bob Ruff himself.
Yeah.
Like, he, you know, he's miserable that he can't.
He's right there.
He's pretty much to the point now where unless he can DNA test, he's done.
He's made a
profile. He thinks he knows who the killer is, but he can't prove it. So until he can prove it,
it's just all speculation.
The investigation is just stalled.
And it's, I mean, it's really, Jesse Miss Kelly has his own problems.
Yeah.
But I'd say 85% of that is because of this.
Yeah.
If it's hard enough for Damien and Jason to go on in regular life,
yeah,
hold their head up, and not have people be like, you just got a plea bargain, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Jesse Miss Kelly is 1,000 degrees of
well,
that.
Well, he went straight back to the same trailer that he left 20 years
and
before.
And he just,
like, or 18 years before, to this, living with his dad, like,
it's horrible.
No, he can't get a job, he can't drive,
and
he
I gotta say, like, Bob Ross is amazing in just how he, like, treats people in this show.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of those dickheads.
No.
I really appreciated, like, he needed to get an answer from Jesse.
Yeah.
But he respected his space.
Exactly.
So when Jesse was, you know, probably coming up with some lies,
mm-hmm,
just, I don't feel good, I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
He just kind of like, hey, buddy, we can get evidence if it's okay with you.
Yeah,
like, just,
I just need your permission.
Just
then I'll
very
leave
nicely.
You alone.
He wasn't like, no, I need to speak to him. Like, okay, I'm just going to shout this. And if he hears it,
yeah,
then great. Like, but Jesse instantly perked up. Of
yeah.
course he doesn't want an interview. That's totally fine. But Bob was not an asshole about it. He wasn't like, you gotta talk to me, bro. Come out here and talk to...
Yeah, come be on camera, come
he
do
He was
this,
very nice about it.
Well,
very,
like,
very
even
nice.
With Christopher Byers' brother...
Oh, yeah, you would never be able to know who that was.
He asked, yeah, he asked... The first question he asked Ryan was, why do you want to be in Silhouette? And Ryan said, because if there's somebody in my life who doesn't know that I'm Christopher Byers' brother, I want to keep it that way.
Perfect.
And it was literally only so the audience knew why he was in Silhouette. Bob Ruff doesn't care.
He doesn't.
He's like, okay, as long as you talk to me, like, we can do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah.
Like, and he...
He's
a
super nice guy.
In his podcast this week was a recap of part one. And he said he took a ride before they did the interview on the TV. Ryan wanted to kind of, like, feel him out and hang out with him to see where it was going to go, exactly. So that it wasn't just another, like...
Do you have any Chris's pictures? Exactly. Do you have any of his clothes?
So I guess Ryan took Bob out to Christopher's, like, gravesite, and they, you know, talked about everything and that kind of thing.
And Bob probably cried.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he did. But, like, he said, he was like, in the show, you hear him say to me, if you can find out who did this, you'll be my brother. And, like, that's because these people, after years and years of these speculations they and these something. Crazy... They're finally happy to have somebody who is on their side, who is on their brother's side. Because the state of Arkansas and the West Memphis Police Department, they were only ever interested in their own agenda. They were never interested in actually finding out and getting justice for these 3 8-year-old boys. They were only ever trying to just fit their own narrative and make sure that the kids in town that they didn't like very much went to jail.
Well, and they wanted it to be... This is the worst crime that we've seen or has happened in this town.
Yeah. Ever.
If we can solve this in a week.
Yeah.
We are fucking gods.
Yeah.
So for them, it's bragging rights almost. It's that whole like, oh yeah, it was horrible. And they go through the whole thing. Oh, these three boys and they go through it. We had a suspect by the end of that night. And everybody oh my God,
yeah.
You are just amazing police officers. That's what they want. They don't care that it takes them 10 months to find out who it is with, you know, multiple. It doesn't matter anymore. It's not about finding the right person. It's how quick were you to find somebody.
Well, they were getting a lot of pressure to obviously, because it took a month before they got Jesse's confession and were able to arrest Jason, Damian, and Jesse.
Yeah.
And in that month, I'm reading the book The Devil's Knot right now, just to have, like, more of, like, it's a very more methodical type breakdown of the case in, like, timelines and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's got Reese Witherspoon and Colin Firth in it. It's good. The book is true crime, and the movie is, the story of the West Memphis 3.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know. But in the book... Like, they didn't even get the autopsy report for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Gary Gitchell kept writing the letters, calling and going there to try to get the autopsy reports because they literally had nothing to go on. They had not one thing to go on. They had nothing, no evidence, really, at the crime scene other than, like, the boys' clothes and that kind of stuff that they weren't getting really much off. Because in 1993, they didn't have the option of, you know, DNA or anything like that. Blood type and blood... Instead of it being whose blood it is, it's what type it is, like...
Well, and it's one of those things, too, where these cops are like, they're in water, everything's gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you can test for stuff.
But
and they're like, no, it's all washed away.
Like, yeah, but even back then, they couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they have...
The 90s were weird.
Yeah, the fact that they had the hairs in the knot... Well, and that's another thing from the TV, from the Forgotten West Memphis 3, is as he's talking to a forensic pathologist, she's going through the report with him, and they're talking about the hair that was found on the stump, which was that couldn't be ruled out as David Jacoby's, and then the hair that was in the knot that couldn't be ruled out as Terry Hobbs because of the kind of blood printing that they could do back then.
Like, yeah.
They couldn't, it's mitochondrial DNA, so it's harder for them to pinpoint it to one specific person because it can be somebody.
Yeah,
because
they said it was like, one out of like 292 people kind of thing.
And then one out of 400 for David Jacoby. Like, so it's more likely that it isn't David Jacoby's hair, but the fact that the hair was in the knot and it matched Terry's mitochondrial DNA, even though it matched other people, it might match other people's too.
But it was less.
But because it was in something of the boys, then it was like, we can kind of rule out the 30 people that don't know the boys that have this DNA.
Yeah.
Like, that kind
of
thing.
It's one of those, like, okay, so if it's one out of 292 people, and 291 people don't know him.
Exactly.
Like, it is, like, a bigger span back in the 90s. Like, huge.
Yeah.
But, you can still do your due diligence on it.
Well, but they couldn't do that back then either.
Oh, okay.
That was from 2011 that they did that test. But one thing she notices in the report is that the slide that the hair was on contained two hairs, but only one of the hairs was tested. So she's like, why was not both of these hairs tested? Because then if it both of them match the mitochondrial DNA of Terry, then like, wait a second, you know. Yeah. Then it's less likely to just be transfer. So what the forensic pathologist, the reason he wants the knots is because the touch DNA, because the knot is tied, even though it's been in the water, there's a likelihood that it's sealed, the touch DNA is sealed in the knot.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, if it can there's more 200 yeah. times more DNA, yeah. that's insane.
Mm-hmm. When she said, because he, one of the things that Bob Ruff was worried about and asked her about was the fact that it's been 26 yeah. years. And she said, yeah, they've pulled DNA off of, years. Yeah, it's up to 40, 45 years. And that's only because that's what they've been able to test. Not because they haven't tested things that are 50, 60, 70 years old.
It's just what's it's been just brought what's to them.
Been brought to them. Yeah. Is, you know, the oldest is 40 years and they have gotten DNA off of it. So
it was super impressive. Like all of yeah. it was super impressive. I, they went into the Bojangles thing a little bit more.
Yeah, he,
and it's, again, regardless of West Memphis 3, crazy-ass thing that happened. Like, super crazy. Well,
really, like,
I kind of...
You probably should just want to check on that person anyway.
Like, so, Brad had asked if anybody had ever talked about that it was... Because, again, like, I think Terry did it, but I don't think Terry did it knowing it was going to get pinned on Damien.
No.
He just did it.
Yeah.
Brad brought up that Mr. Bojangles was Terry's diversion.
Maybe.
That he, kind of what we talked about the other night, yeah. as far as maybe he pain. Was a transient, that yeah. kind of whatever with Terry, but... For it to kind of all be at the same time of this stuff happening,
yeah.
Brad felt that it might have been Terry's diversion, and then it was like, he got sent that way, but the cops were this way, and it was going to be either a no Damien, no nothing, just like, oh, there's this weird guy, and they would be searching for that guy for however long they needed yeah. to search for him. And then parole officer was like, Damien, and yeah. everybody ran that way, and yeah. Terry just kind of stood there with this, like, well, shit.
Well, that works, too.
You know? So, because how are there no other calls? A guy is covered in blood, mud, totally, like, destroying a place of business, well, and there's not another crime that happened at the same time?
It's West Memphis, Arkansas in 1993, and... An African-American man running around covered in blood and mud yeah. is going to cause a stir in the town. Yeah. Like...
Probably on the same level as three boys getting killed.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, and that...
But there's no other...
one thing, like...
No other calls came in.
The craziness of how it, like, imploded that town. Like, apparently it was a nice place to live before the murders, and now, like, see him driving around West Memphis, and it's just, like... Abandoned building after abandoned building.
It looks like worse Detroit.
Yeah, it looks absolutely horrible. Terrible. And apparently that's from the murders. And I just... That's crazy to me.
And they don't care.
No.
The police department has people that their lives have been at a standstill since 93.
Yeah.
And their town is imploding into the... it is gutter central. That place is disgusting.
Yeah.
And the people that have stayed there up into adulthood don't seem like they're doing much better. And no. they don't care.
Well, and like...
To protect their ass, they do not care that this town is dead.
No, because they're fine. As long as they're fine, they don't care.
It's just like, it's just crazy to me.
But one thing about the documentary is that it is a lot of information that we already know. It yeah. is, you know, with the turtles, that's been covered in the west of Memphis, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
But it was cool,
the two things that they did that we haven't seen before in any kind of different documentary is, A, they profiled the killer,
mm-hmm.
and then B, something to do with the profile killer,
though, in a second. But that guy that looked like Gru, super cool. Yeah. That forensic guy.
The profile fits Terry Hobbs to a T. Like, mm-hmm. literally, he checks every box. But when Jim Clemente said,
oh, yeah.
It's so weird to me that he waited till he picked Pam up at the restaurant. Never Catfish
caught
that. Island,
never caught it.
And then they called the police from the payphone and brought the police instead of meeting them at their house, met them at Catfish Island.
Where the boy lived.
Exactly. Like... Where normally the first thing that happens if a kid goes missing or somebody goes missing is one of you stay home so that if they come home, they don't come home to an empty house and then leave again.
Unless like, you know that they're not coming home.
Exactly.
So why
or
should you be
home?
Or you
have stuff there, including what we talked about the other day with the... Pam's sister
him washing all
seeing
that stuff.
Him washing the curtains and stuff in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Terry made sure that when the cops were finally, because John Mark Byers called the cops at like 7:30.
Yeah.
So it was a full hour and a half later that finally, once Pam knew that Stevie was still missing,
they called.
Then it was like, okay, we're calling the police. But why did?
But from
Terry,
the restaurant,
yeah,
and to come interview there, the
exactly.
boys are with walking distance of the house.
Yeah, so why are we? Obviously, Pam couldn't walk to Catfish Island, which is why Terry dropped her off and picked her up. So
we're gonna make cops drive all the way out there
instead of going home and meeting them home, which literally the last place they were seen was just down the
was
road.
Was at home
instead of in Catfish Island, which I don't know how far away from their house. Is,
but he still
has
to drive.
Because you think that Pam, you know, would walk to work if it was close enough, especially in what was used to be like a safe
town. A walking to places town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's something that...
Never caught that.
No, and nobody else I've ever read, watched, listened to has
mm-mm.
ever said that. So that was something that it was like,
but that's why
shit.
That guy's the best.
Yeah, Jim Clemente's amazing.
He really caught that.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, I thought Bob Ross was about to be like, turn the cameras off, my
yeah.
mind is blown,
yeah.
like, we need
well,
to redo
started,
this whole series.
The fact that he started crying.
Oh, and then he cried again, yeah.
Showed that that's something that he's never thought of, and...
He seemed angry
like
with himself.
Yeah, it was like that anger of, like, being mad that nobody's ever thought of that before as another indicator as to Terry Hobbs probably did it. But also the fact that he was angry that Terry Hobbs, if he did do it...
Was smart enough to do
that. Was smart enough and kept Pam away from
yeah.
her house when all she wanted to do was go home, change, and go out looking
yeah.
for Stevie. He made it so
he made
that
a diversion.
She had to give the statement at the Catfish Island, which gave another, you know, four, I don't
however
know,
long,
45 minutes,
matter.
However
yeah.
long, and before they went home. And it stopped the police from coming to their house the night that the boys were murdered.
Yeah.
Which, it just, like, that blew my mind.
It did. It blew my mind,
something
too.
Something so simple is so nefarious.
But I think that's what it is. I think that's why Bob got so upset.
Mm-hmm.
Was it's like playing a game on your phone. Like, one of those sliding games. And you're like, oh my fucking God, I'm never gonna get this. And then someone that's beat it. Or you look it up on YouTube and you're like, stupid. This is
yeah.
fucking stupid.
Yeah.
This is so dumb because it's so smart. It's right there in your fucking face. And I never, it never.
Yeah.
It just never. And like that
well,
guy.
Because you don't even think about
he
it.
He instantly picked it up.
Well, and the fact is that all you think of is that, oh, Terry was just out looking for the boys, which he, why he didn't think to call the police. Whereas John Mark Byers had called the hour and a half earlier, or hour and a half earlier, whatever it was.
Or maybe they got together and it was like, I called the police.
Yeah.
So Terry's like, okay, I'm not going to call the police.
Yeah,
or...
but he spent the time, like, out looking with David Jacoby. And then had the hour and a half time period where he wasn't with David Jacoby before he picked up Pam.
Yeah.
And it's like, how did nobody pick up on that?
But
not even just the cops being called to the Catfish Island instead
no.
of to their house. Just the fact that, like, this motherfucker...
But he should have called Pam and been like, I'm coming to pick you up because the boys are missing. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to drive through the parking
yeah.
lot, you jump in the car, and we're going.
Exactly.
Like...
One... To let Pam finish her shift. That's another
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, are you out of your fucking mind?
I get that, like, they needed the money or,
no, no,
you know,
no, no,
anything
that's
like that.
Not...
But, like, the first... You don't wait till somebody's shift is over to then
no.
be like, oh, your kid's missing.
For their kid.
Yeah.
Terry, it's not your kid. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's not your fucking kid.
Like, to just...
You go, you pick her up, and you deal with losing $40
yeah.
later.
Yeah. Because Stevie's missing, and obviously, as we all know,
and like,
it turned out that he was murdered.
Yeah.
Like, and his mom just working away. I'm sure, obviously, Pam's never said it, but I'm sure that part
that's
of her
guilt.
Is like, if she hadn't gone, say when Stevie didn't come home and she said she had to go to work, I bet that part of her is like, if I had just known, because he was missing, if I just had not gone to work and I hadn't just trusted Terry to make sure that he got home all right, I could have gone out and maybe saved him. Because if Pam hadn't gone to work, and I'm not blaming her at all. No. But you wonder in your mind, if Pam hadn't gone to work and immediately gone out looking for Stevie, if she would have found him alive. Because
or stopped
we're
something.
Assuming, based on the timeline, that the boys were murdered sometime between 6:30 and 8. She was at work by, like, 5 o'clock, I think, was her shift start. So, if she hadn't, she might have found them before Terry or, you know, another murderer, whoever did it, found them.
He had to have accomplices.
I don't know about that. I think that...
I just don't know how he would do that to all those boys.
I just think that because he was an authority figure, Stevie was, they said in the show, and they have said before, Stevie was really scared of Terry. Little kids like that, when they're scared, and he would have told Michael and Chris how mean Terry was to him.
Yeah.
So it's that freeze thing.
Yeah.
It's that freeze, like, and then when, you know, say, I don't know who died first. I don't think they even know who died first. But say he hits Stevie in the head, the other boys, the panic at that age, I remember being 8, and that panic would have been freezing instead of running.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, and even then, say the boys had run even just a little bit, Terry could have easily grabbed them and done the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, he had the hour and a half time period in order to do it and conceal the crime scene.
It is. It's just, it's horrible what Pam has to live with. And I imagine every step of that day with her is just like, this would have been different. What if I just stayed home? Then maybe it would have diverted thoughts, ideas.
Like, when Bob asked her, like, do you think you know who did it? And she says, she doesn't say, no, I don't. She says, I don't want to say it out loud, because if I say it out loud, I'm going to lose it. So that kind of tells you that she's holding on to the guilt of being married, possibly, to the person who killed her son.
And
other people's sons as well.
That's the, I'm gonna lose it attitude. Because if it was, I thought, it's the next door neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been like, it's that bitch Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
She would have been, yeah, I know who exactly it is. That motherfucker's gonna burn.
Yeah.
That is that whole, like, I lived with, like,
exactly.
With him.
Like, I was there, and I was with him at the time.
And the signs were there. He beat me.
Yeah.
Like, I put my kid around this man, and then I stayed with this man.
Yeah.
And the sister seems real salty, so you know that bitch from day one was like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
Well, Amanda, like, says that she can't, oh yeah, Pam's sister, sorry.
Yeah.
But Amanda, Stevie's sister, like, she says that there's blackout parts of her childhood that she doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Because it was so horrific back then. That her brain has literally, she did drugs, and it was like her brain literally, like, protects her from knowing what happened back then.
It's horrible.
But still, definitely highly recommend it.
Oh, it's so good. And it is, it's better interviews. Bob Ross is a charm. Bob Ruff. Oh, God.
He's not a painter.
I forgot about that. He's just, same level. Yeah. This guy's awesome. But, there's, you know, if you're really into the case, it's a rehashing of some stuff, but mm-hmm. it's really cool to see these people now, how excited how excited they were. Jesse's tone changed.
Yeah.
He was very off, like, standoffish, mm-hmm. and then when Bob was like, we can find new evidence, like, mm-hmm. he was like, oh,
like, let's Well, and Damien and Jason, Damien's a little more pessimistic because he knows that getting the evidence from the state is going to be almost impossible. But Jason's face, like, lit up.
He is very excited.
Like, Damien was cautiously optimistic about it, whereas Jason was like, yes, like, face lit up, like, yes, let's do this. And that's not the sign of a fucking murderer. Like, if it was like, oh, we can find 200 times DNA,
you'd be sweating.
It would be like, oh, fuck. So if my DNA is on that stick,
it's fine.
Yeah.
I've got a cat now.
Yeah.
Like, we're all
good. We're out. It's good. You know.
But also, literally, almost everyone he interviewed that had to do with the case, as far as, like, actually, like, either kids in it or in it, when it's one of those, like, do you think you know? No one is like, yeah, those three boys.
Yeah.
It's not.
No.
Like, it's to everyone in this case that has dealt with this case forever or been involved in it, Damian, Jesse, and Jason, not even a thought in their brain.
No.
Because they all say, like Chris's brother,
mm-hmm.
if you can find who did it. So yeah. you don't think
that the three that boys they are did the ones it. Who did it. You think, you know that the other person's out there.
Yeah, because...
Well, and I'm sure that Chris told him as well, like, Terry was beating on Stevie again today. Like, Stevie's scared to go home. I'm sure there was times where it was like, can Stevie spend the night because he's scared to go home? Like...
It seems very obvious that in this town, with either friends, kids, or parents, they all... know and fear in their heart that it was Terry.
Yeah. And what the implication of that, like, with Pam, it's that she stayed with him and she put her son around him. The other parents, it's that they let them play.
They went to dinner, they played, like...
they hung out at each other's houses and all that kind of stuff.
And again, you didn't pay attention to the signs.
Yeah.
Because an 8-year-old is still going to be honest with you and you need to listen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially after watching that Gabriel
thing. Oh my god, yeah.
Horrible.
Maybe we'll talk about that at some point.
It's horrible.
I don't want to talk about that.
You need to pay attention. You need to listen. If they say that there's a problem, don't them off.
No.
It could turn out something serious, like the West Memphis 3.
Mm-hmm.
Where two other kids, I mean, this doesn't justify it, where a father kills a son.
No.
But you also destroyed two other families in your quest to kill that son.
Yeah, in your rage that you're like, mad at him for going missing and, like...
Just ridiculous.
Yeah, I just...
It's insane. So, we hope that Bob comes out with something else, because hopefully...
Well, he's still working on the West Memphis 3 case on his podcast. He said on his podcast that there's 13 hours of footage.
Hell, so yeah.
So, I'm hoping that at some point... they will release more of what's
And it's
going on.
Very important that he does footage, like, in the shower or working out. Would, you know, it's just, we need to be there.
And Scott Ellington is the district attorney of the state of Arkansas.
You can write him.
You can write him, you can email him, and you can call his office to get him to release the West Memphis 3
Yep, help Bob out.
On his Facebook page, there's hundreds of comments is there? Of people telling him to release the evidence. So I very much appreciate that we're all a little bit
you know what? You gotta piss him off to the point that he's just like, fine.
Take it.
And like, they're done. You gotta put Pam to rest.
Yeah.
She needs it.
Yeah.
She needs it so bad. And it will help Damian and Jason and Jesse so much. And get that bitch Terry Hobbs in jail.
Right. I want
it so bad.
And before he dies. Like, we need to know it's him before he dies. I think he's that old, but still.
I would think that something like this comes out, he might off himself.
Yeah. Because it'll just be done.
Yeah. He doesn't want...
It's another nail in his coffin, because there's extra information about why he could be the killer now. So. Yeah. But we'll see you next time. And if you've got it, haunt it.
Woo-hoo.